Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Hope you are having a joyous and wonderful weekend. We are getting set for Packers-Eagles on Monday Night Football. We're not going to be discussing Packers-Eagles, though. We're going to be discussing this Green Bay Packers team as is and what they need to do to get to the point they need to be. How can this team be better for the remainder of the season? We're going to get our quick fixes in for this Packers team. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to fix everything. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the core and crux of their problems. We'll discuss that, but we'll go through some things that I think are pretty simple, pretty easy, that could really help get this team back on track. Before we get there, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Logan Pietrick. Thank you so much for signing up. Really appreciate that a ton. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, what are you waiting for? Today is a great day to do so. Also, shout out to Steve-O-2 on Apple Podcasts for the 5-star review. Stated that he loves Behind Enemy Lines in the collaboration with the Paul Farrington Show. So Steve-O-2, thank you for the 5-star review and the very kind comment. Appreciate you a ton, my friend. If you have the opportunity, put in those reviews, like, comment, subscribe. Those things help the channel a whole heck of a lot. We appreciate you guys for that. Quick updated injury report from Friday's practice. Savion Williams did return to practice. That was a great sign. No new injuries. That's a great sign. Only LVN and Nate Hobbs not practicing. We know Nate Hobbs is going to be out for this one. It would seem LVN is probably headed in that direction as well. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of optimism that he's going to be good to go for this week. So probably another week without LVN. But if it's LVN and Hobbs on the injury report that they're missing and everyone else can get healthy and ready to go, I think for the most part, I mean, obviously we know about Tucker Kraft and everything like that and the devastation that comes with that injury. But outside of that, you feel pretty good overall going into this game if everyone else is in fact healthy, again, besides LVN and Nate Hobbs going into this week. Next, let's look at what's on the horizon presented by Schreiber Horizon. I was looking at the Packers' upcoming schedule. It's an interesting one. They've got the Eagles at home on Monday Night Football, of course, at the New York Giants, Vikings at home, Lions on the road on Thanksgiving, Bears at home, Broncos on the road, Bears on the road, Ravens at home, and then Vikings on the road. The total combined record for their remaining opponents, 42-33, 9 games above 500. And that doesn't really include, or I guess it includes, but maybe shouldn't include, Baltimore's bad record so far, which if anything probably makes them harder and more dangerous to play at the end of the year, because almost every single one of Baltimore's games from here on out is going to be pretty much a must-win game. And they're very dangerous and I think much better than their record would indicate. They only have 2 games against teams below 500. One of those, the aforementioned Baltimore Ravens, and then at the New York Giants. Every other team they play remaining is at 500 or better. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a very good thing, because the Packers seem to struggle with the at or below 500 teams more than they do against the above 500 teams, but it's going to be a daunting schedule. And the other thing that's worth noting here, 5 of their final 8 games are going to be on the road. So after this Eagles game, at Giants, at Lions, at Broncos, at Bears, at Vikings are the 5 road games. Only Vikings, Bears, and Ravens at home the rest of the year, again, after this Eagles game. So 5 of the 8 on the road. And just think of it this way. If Green Bay doesn't win the NFC North, and assuming they get in the playoffs, in order to get to the Super Bowl, you're likely looking at a 3-game road trip in order to get there. That would mean you'd have to finish with 8 of your final 11 games on the road. And then, you know, technically, I know it's neutral, but go on the road for the Super Bowl as well. So 9 out of 12. That is a very daunting task. So to say that the NFC North is important, we already knew that, maybe getting that first home field, you know, game, or maybe even home field throughout, if you can win the NFC, those things are, you know, winning the NFC would be amazing. But if you don't win the NFC North and Detroit or even Chicago or somehow Minnesota finishes in first place, Green Bay is really behind the eight ball, especially with all the road games they have coming up. So this is going to be a daunting task for the Packers. They're going to have to be up to it and they're going to have to play better. All right, let's get into our main topic, because as we discussed, Green Bay's schedule is not an easy one. Lots of games on the road, lots of games against good teams, and they're going to have to be better than what they've shown in the first half of this season so far. So what can they do? What are some of the easy buttons that they can press to make this team better, to make them more dynamic, to make them more difficult to go against, and hopefully give them a better winning percentage between now and the end of the season to hopefully win the NFC North, maybe even better than that, secure your spot in the playoffs, get a couple home games, and hopefully make that run to the Super Bowl? Well, I've got 12 things. We're going to go through all of them. Number one, we talked about this a little bit with Carmen Vitale. We talked about this a little bit with Justice Mosqueda, but let's just get it very clear. Green Bay needs to play their best players. An earth-shattering idea. I'm done with the competition, the ultra rotations of like, oh, everyone gets a little slice of the pie. No, play your best damn players. There are multiple spots. We'll go through all of these, but wide receiver, offensive line, defensive tackle, corner, safety, kick returner, and kicker, where you could at least make arguments that Green Bay is not playing its best players. First up is wide receiver. I don't need to see a whole heck of a lot more of Malik Heath. I don't really need to see any more of Savion Williams. I like Savion Williams a lot, and Malik Heath is a fine like number six wide receiver. They're good depth pieces right now, but I don't need to see them getting almost any snaps moving forward, assuming they're healthy this week. I need to see Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs. That is it. Those are the four I need to see. Those are the only four that really at this point in time, as you try to win the rest of this season and make your run towards the Super Bowl, those are the four. Until Jaden Reed gets back and then you start integrating him, those are the only four wide receivers I need to see, barring injury. Those are your best four. Quit dabbling around with some of the stuff with Savion Williams and Malik Heath. Not trying to trash those two as players whatsoever, but they're your five and your six. And they're your five and a six for a reason. So play your top four and stop with all of the, well, everyone's going to get, no, play your top four and get those guys involved. Especially now with no Tucker Kraft, you're going to need talented playmakers on the field. And if they're healthy, they need to be on the field. So again, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. I don't care how much you rotate those four. I don't care which order you put them in. That's four wide receivers. And once Jaden Reed gets back, that's five. Again, it just goes to show you, I don't need number six and number seven out there as much as they've been out there. I know some of that's been dictated by injuries. Totally understandable. Totally get that. But moving forward, I just need to see those four. Along the offensive line, this one's maybe slightly more complicated. Who are your best five offensive linemen? I don't know. I have my thoughts on it. I personally think Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom are your best five. And that's who I'd roll out there. Am I willing to maybe try Sean Ryan at center and put Elton back at guard? Yes, I would be willing to try it. But I think those are your best five offensive linemen. I don't need to see a ton of Jordan Morgan right now. I do understand that Sean Ryan hasn't been great either. And so if you want to remain the competition, but I just think Sean Ryan's been a little bit better. And therefore, I want to see, regardless of who it is, you're the team, you're the coach, figure out who your best five are, enough with the rotation, let them gel, get them out there, and let them play. I don't need to see the sixth guy in there anymore. Just figure out your five, put them out there, and get your, you've preached forever, best five guys, best five. Who are your best five? Get them out there, let them gel, let them play, because that offensive line needs to play together more consistently, and they have to be a whole heck of a lot better. Number three, defensive tackle. I understand the idea of Nasir Stackhouse over Warren Brinson, but just on their body of work so far, Brinson is the better player. Yet you're deactivating him every week and keeping Stackhouse active. I get that Stackhouse is the bigger body. I don't necessarily hate that he's active on game days, but this is where we've talked about, have all five active. You're not using your fifth corner on anything. You're not using him on special teams. You're not using him as a defensive back. I'd rather have the extra rotational defensive lineman. And in that scenario, we've seen when Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse are both active, Brinson outsnaps him. So let him be active, let him get the majority of the snaps. And if you want to use that bigger body in some of the goal line situations, tush push situations, by all means, go ahead, do that. I get it. I understand it. But Warren Brinson should not be deactivated when he's better than Nasir Stackhouse and Stackhouse is playing, you know, 15, 20 snaps and Brinson now gets zero. That just doesn't make sense. So you got to figure out that rotation a little bit better. Cornerback, Nate Hobbs at this point, based on what we've seen so far, does not have a significant role on this team. And I know he's hurt now, It is Carrington Valentine. He is your best corner so far. Stop messing around with him. They rotated him again this past week at times. Stop messing around with it. Set it and forget it. Carrington's your guy. For better or worse, Carrington's your guy. Keyshawn's probably the other. If he were to really struggle, could we have a competition with Nate Hobbs? Sure, we can discuss it. But for now, it's Keyshawn Nixon. Javon Bullard is your early down and and less obvious passing down slot defender. He's been the best at it all year long, and he's really good in those situations. In your clear and obvious passing downs, Nate Hobbs comes in and plays those slot corner positions in clear and obvious passing downs only. That's your corner group. It's not complicated. It's super simple. Valentine, Nixon, and a platoon between Hobbs and Bullard, where Bullard plays the more run-oriented downs or the less obvious passing downs, and Hobbs plays the obvious passing downs. Simple, easy. Set it and forget it. Safety. I love Javon Bullard. I'm probably one of Javon Bullard's biggest supporters. I don't need to see Javon Bullard rotating with Evan Williams at safety anymore. That's Evan Williams' spot. He's been the best safety on the team this year. He's been one of the best safeties in the league this year. Why are you ever taking him off the field? And I love Javon Bullard. And I understand, I sort of get it, because Bullard does a really good job of coming up from the deep safety on run plays to fill that gap. He does a good job of it. I still don't need to see Evan Williams off the field. So I'm sorry, that's just Evan's spot. And unless there's an injury, Javon's not playing safety anymore. And let him focus on slot corner. I don't need him doing double. You've already got a great safety. Just let him play and let Javon focus on that slot corner position. Simple, done, set it and forget it. Kick returner, you've got an all-pro kick returner two times over. Let your all-pro kick returner, I don't know, return kicks? Enough said. I don't even need to go on about it. I don't care if he doesn't want to do it. I don't care if you're worried about, like, oh, he's a starting corner. You're starting wide receiver. Your number one guy is returning punts right now. And you had Keyshawn return a punt, but he can't return a kick? No, Keyshawn Nixon's got to return kicks. And then last but not least is kicker. You've got to figure out who your best kicker is. You can't keep holding two on the roster. Pick your kicker. Let him kick. Stop with the question mark of who's it's going to be. And if you're going to keep Haversick and never use him, that's just a waste of a spot. So pick your guy after this week. If McManus is good this week against Philly and there's no, issues, it's McManus. If McManus struggles, you got to go to Haversick. It's that simple. This is the week. You decide it. Then move on. Pick your kicker and enough of the competition. All right. Those seem simple to me. Play your best players all over, but specifically in some of the issues at wide receiver, offensive line, defensive tackle, corner, safety, kick returner, and kicker. Number two, that was just number one. And that's like a lot of pretty simple fixes. It seems great. Just get your best players on the field. Pretty simple, right? We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 10. We've got a huge one Monday night, Philly coming to Green Bay. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs in what hopes to be a bounce back win for Green Bay. Elsewhere in week 10, I'm going with big games from Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Quinshon Judkins. The best part, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter your play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code PACKADAY. Number two, sign Asante Samuel Jr. Figure it out. You've got the money, you've got the resources, you're a competitive team, you have a Derek Ansley connection, you can have him play a ton of snaps. There's everything there for Asante Samuel to be happy. Now, it takes two to tango. The Green Bay Packers could offer the most money and the best Super Bowl odds, and Asante Samuel might still say, I want to go play for whatever team, right? I want to go play in Carolina. It's warmer. I like Carolina. We have no idea, right? So he could just not choose Green Bay, but Green Bay should be doing everything in their power to effort getting Asante Samuel to Green Bay. I'm not even a huge Asante Samuel Jr. guy. I think he has deficiencies in his game. Do I think that he solves the cornerback issues? I don't. Do I think he can be an upgrade? I do. And do I think that it's worth taking the shot and seeing if somebody that's ultra motivated to play extremely well the rest of the year to get a $20 million free agent contract is worth bringing in? Hell yeah. Bring in all the competition that you can at this point. Asante Samuel Jr. makes sense. Let him play, see what you have. And it just doesn't make any sense to let him get anywhere else with everything that you have riding on this season. And you can use a player exactly like him, especially in some of the extremely obvious coverage positions, which is what Asante Samuel Jr. is best at. It's pure coverage. His tackling's not great, but he can cover. And then he can cover in the slot. He can cover on the outside. And Green Bay can use more coverage. We all know that very, very well. Number three, I want to see a little bit of reorganization in this coaching staff. Now, I'm not talking about firing anyone. I'm not talking about stripping anyone of any titles. You can figure that stuff out in the offseason. Everyone's pay can remain the same and everyone's title can remain the same. You've got Nathaniel Hackett as a special assistant that's working on the defensive side with Jeff Hafley. You've got Luke Getsy, who's a senior assistant, who's a former offensive coordinator, as is Nathaniel Hackett, and a former head coach in Nathaniel Hackett. You've got Jason Vrabel as your passing game coordinator. Let those three take Hackett, put him back on the offensive side, let Getsy less with the quarterbacks, more with the offensive coordinator side of things. Let those three figure out red zone and passing offense and third down plays. Let them all handle that. We're going to take that off of Adam Stenovich's plate and we're going to let him focus solely on the offensive line. Steno may not like that because it's going to feel like a demotion. What I'm going to say to Steno is, listen, we're paying you to be an offensive coordinator. And right now, the biggest thing that you can provide us as an offensive coordinator, as an offensive coach, is making sure the offensive line is the best they can possibly be. I cannot stress this enough. If the offensive line continues to play as they've played the first half of the season, nothing else matters. They cannot win at a high level with them playing the way that they have. Not consistently. Not through a 3 or 4 game stretch to win a Super Bowl. So that has to be all hands on deck. Adam Stenovich, one of the best great offensive line minds in the NFL, you are focusing on getting this offensive line right. And that is that's more important than anything else that you can possibly bring to the club. So that's your new job. Getsy, Hackett, Jason Vrabel, you're going to have to fill in for some of the stuff that Steno was doing and work with Matt in that way. And that's okay. It's just it's a different, and Jeff Hafley will be totally fine without Nathaniel Hackett helping them. Hafley survived last year without Nathaniel Hackett. So get Hackett more involved in the offense. He was one of the people who really was in charge of the red zone when Green Bay was really good in the gold zone era. So get him back working, red zone. Let Jason Vrabel work third downs, whatever the case may be. You can divvy that up how you want, but I want Steno working full-time in the offensive line because it's the most important thing that he could do the rest of the season. Number four, lean into the analytics. I need to see Matt LaFleur coach less with his gut and his heart and more by trusting the math and the, football IQ of what you should be doing in those specific situations. Does he have to follow it to a T 110% of the time? No, I'm not saying it has to be followed directly, but I want to see like 90% of the decisions based on analytics with maybe a one-off here or there be decided of like, I don't think it's the right time. Like this, the fourth and eight last week is a great, all the analytics will always tell you to go for it. And the analytics say, no, you need to kick that field goal. And Matt also needs to recognize he was going to have to burn a timeout in order to get to that play, which is also a huge analytical no-no in that situation. And all of his best players were on the bench. Only Romeo Doubs and a bunch of backups were on the field in that situation because of injuries and other stuff going on. So that's not the time to go for it. So trust your analytics. Let that be your guide, not your random gut feeling in the moment, which has been, to be fair, completely off almost all season long. When you've gone aggressive, it's backfired. When you've gone passive, it has backfired. Just trust the analytics and say, that's what we're going to go with the vast majority of the time. And I think that will clear up some of the bizarro decision-making in some really interesting moments, to say the least, and, you know, allow you to not maybe be on tilt on some of those key decisions. Number five, we talked about this with Mike Wall. I'd like to see a little bit more heavy formation, six offensive linemen. I think it can be a really interesting package for you, especially like, I know a lot of times you're thinking of six offensive linemen and then we're going to bring in a tight end and we're going to go two wide, maybe two on the same side, and then a running back. I kind of want to see an 11 personnel with your tight end basically being a sixth offensive lineman. Give me the little bit more spread out with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks this week, or Matthew Golden, any of the three. I don't care which ones. And then Josh Jacobs in the backfield. And I'm not going to use a tight end. I'm using a sixth offensive lineman. I want to see how you come out against that. In fact, what I really want is Wicks, Watson, and you know what? I'm going to go back on something I said earlier. Maybe give me Wicks, Watson, and Heath a little bit as my three wide receivers, the three best blocking receivers on the team. And then Josh Jacobs at running back. And let me see how they match up with that. If they come out in nickel, I got six offensive linemen, three awesome blocking receivers against three usually bad tackling corners, and I got Josh Jacobs in the backfield, I'm going to run the football. And if not, I've got three wide receivers out there. If they're going to come out more in a base set, I got three wide receivers. You got three linebackers. All right. I guess what? I'm going to pass. And I, you know what? I'm going to keep that extra offensive lineman in, protect Jordan Love. When he is protected, he's an assassin. And I still have Josh Jacobs and three worthy wide receivers out there. There's just some really fun stuff that you can do with that. I want to see a little bit more of that. And I need to see this run game get going. And I think adding that extra offensive lineman in could be a fun way to do that with some interesting wrinkles on top of it. So, you know, get some fun packages out there with, you know, with, and I think Anthony Belton is the perfect person to do it. Bring the 330 pounder in as an extra tackle, either in pass pro or just a mauler in run blocking. I think he's the perfect person to bring in that sort of formation. Number six, I need to see a mentality change. Enough of this, like, well, we're worried about the Panthers are going to, no. What happened to all gas, no break? I need to see the revitalization of all gas, no break. And you just said a couple weeks ago, scared money don't make money. You've been playing with scared money. Play the game. Play the game like you have the best team and that you're going to dictate terms the entirety of the game. Have your team ready to go out and say, yeah, it's not that we're not taking the team seriously. It's that we're so confident in our own abilities. We're going to go out and play A+. We're not going to be afraid of what they're going to do. We're all gas, no break, and you're going to have to stop us. That's the difference in mentality shift that I need to see from this team. And Matt had it at one point. The all gas, no break was maybe a fun sort of saying at the time, but he lived it a lot more back then. And now it's just like, you know, gas in the, you know, fourth quarter when we're down or when we have to have it. Other than that, we're just going to live in neutral. It was some mostly neutral, some gas every once in a while, but also some break mixed in. I want all gas, no break. That's where I want you to live. And if you fail that way, so be it. But that's the mentality shift that I need to see from this team. Number seven, in that same mindset, I need to see this team start having fun, have more energy, and a little bit more creativity. It just feels stale. It feels flat. It's nothing like those first two games against Detroit and Washington. How can you get that defense more fired up? How can you get them more energetic? How can you get the sidelines going crazy again? You know, whatever it takes. You know, whether you need to go up tempo, no huddle a little bit more, whether you need to throw a trick play in here every once in a while, hopefully one that's successful, just getting a little bit more energy, a little bit more fun. It feels like everyone's, you know, butt is just clenched so tight of like, if anything goes wrong, everything is just, it just feels there's like negative vibe, negative energy. How can we spin that around? how can we just have a little bit more fun, have a little bit more energy, have a little bit more intensity, and again, have a little bit more creativity? That's another thing that I need to see from this team. And if they, when they are playing fast and energetic, this team is very difficult to beat. When they're playing flat and a stale brand of football, well, you know, Carolina and Cleveland can beat them in those scenarios. So find a way to bring out that energy in the team. Number eight, I need to see the weaponization of Edgerrin Cooper just a little bit more. It's difficult because sometimes that means leaving some corners on an island, and that hasn't worked out super great for you. But Edgerrin Cooper is too much of a playmaker. He's too damn fast and he's too damn special to just kind of be left on that second level and chasing things down. He's really good at that, and there definitely needs to be a piece of that. But how can we put him in advantageous positions to get to the quarterback or to stop the run or whatever it may be, spy the quarterback, just get him in positions where he can be sort of the focal point a little bit more? Just feels like we've gotten away, or we've seen Green Bay get away from being able to utilize him as the true special. It felt like a necessity last year where it's like, we got to weaponize this guy because he's our best defender and we've got to let, and now it's like with Micah there, like Micah is the guy, which is rightfully so. But can you still find a way to also weaponize Coop a little bit more? And I think that's going to unlock some of the playmaking with your defense as well. Number nine, maybe this is a little bit of a redo from a couple of the things that we've said so far, but stop grinding out games. That's not your DNA. You don't want to play each team gets six possessions and we're going to limit the overall possessions. We're going to be more efficient than you. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you with consistency over time. You might end up winning games on the season playing that way. You might end up with a, you know, 10 or 11 win record and get in the playoffs, but it's not going to get you ultimately where you want to go. And that kind of goes back to the all gas, no break. I want to see tempo. I want to see energy. If you are a good football team, which I think Green Bay is, you've got good players, the longer the game stretches on, meaning the more plays, the more drives, the more everything, the better chance that the better team wins. You want more possessions and more drives in the game. You don't want fewer. When each team only gets five, you know, or six drives, I think the last game was six legitimate drives, anything can happen. Anything can happen in that scenario. You want more drives. So you really have to make it so that you can get to the point where you have a lot of opportunities to score points, a lot of opportunities to get takeovers, and that your star and skill players are going to show up a little bit more when you have more opportunities to do it. So stop grinding out these games. Be a team that is, again, pressing a little bit more on offense, trying to get more drives, more plays, and be a little bit more aggressive on defense. And you know what? If you give up a couple big plays in the, you know, span of that, that's okay. But you don't want to play these grinded out games. It doesn't fit your DNA. We'll be right back. Hey friends, we've all gone through difficult times, whether it be with addiction, heartbreak, financial troubles, or hundreds of other challenging situations that get presented to us on a day-to-day basis. I know I certainly have, and if you have, just know you're not alone. And the thing is, taking care of your mental health shouldn't be harder than taking care of your physical health. If you pull a muscle, you go see a doctor. But when it comes to finding the right therapist, suddenly it's frustrating. You've got long wait lists or you're staring down huge out-of-pocket costs. That's what usually stops people from getting help. That's where Rula comes in. Rula makes therapy simple, affordable, and fast. They work with most major insurance plans, and the average session copay is just $15. Just 15 bucks. Every therapist on the platform is licensed, vetted, and picked for their expertise, so you know you're going to talk to somebody legit, not just whoever happens to be available. And getting started could not be easier. You answer a few quick questions about what matters to you, and Rula connects you with in-network providers who actually fit your needs. You pick the time, and you could be talking to a therapist and as soon as the next day. I can't stress enough how much therapy has been a blessing in my life, and it can be in yours as well. And Rula gives you that opportunity without having to break the bank. Now, thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they've needed, so don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Packaday and get started today. That's Rula.com/Packaday. Take the first step, get connected, and take control of your mental health. Number 10, find a damn punt returner. Aeneas Smith, Panthers practice squad, returned 4 for 63 in preseason. Courtney Jackson, Seahawks practice squad, had 5 punt returns, 74 yards, a 14.8 yard average. AJ Henning, Dolphins practice squad, 3 returns, 104 yards on kick return, 4 for 59 on punt return for a 14.8 yard average. Jamal Pritchett, Jets practice squad, 9 for 103 on punt return for an 11.4 yard average. Amir Smith-Marset, Giants practice squad, had 3 for 30 punt returning 10 yard average, also had a 100 yard kick return for a touchdown in 2024 and a 79 yard punt return touchdown in 2023. I'm not going to go out and scout every one of these possible returners, but they've all had some success, whether it be in preseason or regular season. If you can keep 2 kickers on the roster, you can keep a kick returner slash punt returner on the roster. I'm more looking at punt returner here, but go out, scout those 5, whichever one looks best, bring them in, make them their punt returner, because right now you do not have one on the roster. Number 11, let Jordan Love cook. This is Jordan's team. I'm not saying don't let Josh Jacobs cook, but your primary focal point has to be Jordan Love. He's the franchise guy. He's QB1. He's playing fantastic. Protect him. Let him be the distributor. Let him be the guy that wins you or loses you games. That's what you're paying him to be. That's what he can be. He seems like he's on the precipice of being one of the great quarterbacks in this league. I know he didn't have a great game this past week in a couple plays. The rest of it was pretty dang good. But overall, this is going to go as far as Jordan Love is going to take you. And the sooner you can recognize that and the sooner you can play to that strength, the better. Now, I get sometimes the game plan may need to change a little bit, but in some key situations and key moments, like a 3rd and 4 a week ago, a screen pass ain't it. Let Jordan have that play and let him see what he can create. Because when he can create, you're usually in a better spot. Call the right play call. Let him get through his progressions. And we've seen him take off and scramble. We've seen him create plays on his own. Let Jordan be the straw that stirs the drink. He needs to be the guy in Green Bay. And last but not least, number 12, find your identity. Who are you? Are you a pass first team? Are you a run first team? Are you a grind it out team, which I said I don't think we are, or I don't think Green Bay is, but what is your identity on offense? What is your identity? Like, is it bend but don't break? Is that what you really want it to be? Who are you as a team? It can't just be, we're going to try to out-scheme the other coaching staff every single week. That's not going to work. You have to figure out what is the core of your DNA. What is the nucleus of what you do as a team? What is it that you do that dictates terms to the other team? It doesn't feel like Green Bay has that identity right now. They're not a hard-nosed team. They're not exactly a finesse team. They're not a high-scoring team. They're not a defensive team. They're not an offensive team. They're certainly not a special teams team. Like, what is it that you're going to do better than everyone else that's going to ultimately get you a Super Bowl win? I don't know what that thing is, but they have to figure it out, and they have to bake that in to the core of who they are moving forward. Otherwise, they're just going to be rudderless, and it's really tough when you don't have that one thing that you do best to go out every week and just try to outplay the team that's in front of you, because they're going to do something better than you. And that could be what swings the game in the opposite direction. So the 12 things: play your best players, sign Asante Samuel Jr., reorganize the offensive coaching staff, specifically with Adam Stenovich as the more offensive line oriented, lean into the analytics, more heavy packages and formations, bring back the all gas, no brick mentality, more fun, creative energy. Just get this team a little less flat moving forward. Weaponize Edgerrin Cooper. Stop grinding out games. Find a damn punt returner. Let Jordan Love cook and find your freaking identity. Listen, all those things are great. They can all help. But the main things this team needs to do is figure out attention to detail, work on their technique, their focus, and their intensity on a game-to-game basis. All those things can help. They're, I think, easy things that you can make work right away. But it's the true attention to detail, the true grinding out the technical work and being the best at your craft that's going to get this team better. They're going to have to really work hard if they want this. Those are some of the surface level things, those 12 things that you can do to help. Puts a little makeup on some of the ugly spots. But the truth is, they have to be better technically. They have to be more sound and more attention to detail oriented if they want to be a true Super Bowl contender. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nino. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.